The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. More than 73 years of Ed Morse quality and service across the state of Florida. In fact, more than 1.2 million customers have enjoyed all the great benefits of working with Ed Morse. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com, and here's Ira. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back, part two of this week, this pre-draft week with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Ira, I'm just going to introduce you right away. Welcome, Ira. You look so great as we do part two.
We are 1 week away. 1 week away from our draft party, Steve. It's very exciting. I know the Bucks are throwing their own party. That'll be fine. They'll drag a few players out. Captain Fear will run around. We got some cheerleaders. We don't expect cheerleaders at our party, but there's going to be a lot of excitement. What better place to cherish the draft than among your fellow Bucks supporters, Lee?
Absolutely.
The camaraderie, the drinking, the chanting. But next Thursday, Lee, it's going to be an event.
You notice where his mind was? It wasn't that we're a week away from the draft. It's a week away from the draft party.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, the camaraderie, Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, last year opening night, about 750, I'll say.
But they're coming from all corners, Steve.
All corners. Many states flying in. The hotel booked up quickly. There's actually an afternoon pool party. I'm going to get you the details on.
I'm a stry. I go underwater. I can go from one end of the pool to the other.
Well, you lose so much when you go out to the golf, but you don't get swept away.
I don't get swept
away. Wait a minute.
Away.
Where does a kid from Brooklyn learn how to swim? You just jump off the bridge?
No, there was a place called Sunset Park Pool. It was about a three-quarter of a mile walk from my house up a steep hill. I used to go to it with my father. That's where I learned how to swim, Steve, and I haven't stopped since. And interesting story. I know our listeners like to know little things about the sage. On my honeymoon, Stephen, on my honeymoon in Hawaii, you know, we didn't spare it. And we paid for our own wedding, which was at the Fox Hollow Inn in Syosset, Long Island. So anyway, we're in Hawaii, and we're on one of the islands, and I didn't know anything about a rip current. What do I know of Coney Island? We got no rip currents, strong currents. Anyway, I go out there. And I'm lollygagging, I'm snorkeling or whatever. My wife's on the beach. You know, this is 2 days into our honeymoon. All of a sudden, you know, I'm done. You know, it's 45 minutes. I'm getting a little tired. I'll come back in. I start paddling in. I paddle for 10 minutes. I'm 10 feet further out than when I started paddling. I'm fighting the current. I'm panicking a little bit. There's nobody around me. You know, they say you shouldn't snorkel alone. I forgot about that rule, rule number one. All of a sudden, a little panic. How am I going to get in? And finally, somehow, by hook or crook, I started paddling perpendicular, which is what
parallel,
you're supposed
right?
to do, parallel.
Yeah.
And eventually I got in. It must have been 45 minutes. And now I'm a mile down the beach. Start walking back, and my wife's going crazy. She lost her husband on her honeymoon. Absolutely went crazy. It took about an hour to calm her down. You know, there certainly wasn't any action for a couple of days after that.
Oh.
And, you know, I give my people all kinds of details. All kinds of details.
You're an open book.
What kind of man goes on his honeymoon and upsets his wife like that? I mean, it's
so
ridiculous.
Wait a minute. So you are near death.
It was a near-death experience.
And you come back an hour later and you're in trouble already?
I'm in trouble. And unlike Seinfeld, there was no makeup sex. There was no makeup sex unlike Seinfeld.
All right. We've drifted into
Now, how are you going to top that? How are you going to top that on this draft podcast over there, Steve?
Uncharted waters, Ira getting lost in the Pacific.
A rip current in Hawaii.
I will just add this, but it can't even come close to yours. But there's a video floating around on Twitter that a guy with a cell phone is scoping the chicks, and he's panning from left to right. It almost looks like it's set up.
Is he on the beach or in the water?
Oh, he's on the beach.
Oh, he's on the beach. All
right. He's panning from left to right, and when he starts panning to his right, his wife is right there with looks could kill on her face.
Well, mine was only, you know, being foolish and snorkeling out there by myself. It didn't reach a high bar.
Well, Ira, you know, I'm glad you got back to safety. You came back, and you voted for Nixon, and life went on. So, all right, enough of that. But that was fascinating, Ira.
I believe Reagan was in the White House at that point. And there you go. All right, anyway.
All right, so your podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, you can go back, listen to previous episodes. Very tame last episode, although a lot of intensity following Jason Light's talk.
We had an apology from DeKemper. That was unnecessary.
Unnecessary?
Absolutely unnecessary.
If you want to know why Lee was apologizing, you can go back two episodes, about the 23-minute mark,
Lee, the Hooters broadcast.
The Hooters broadcast, but that doesn't narrow it down. That is one of our second homes. Look, I wanted to bring this up because it's important. You've referenced this many times in many different angles. We've talked about it before. Ownership. Ownership and the NFL draft. You know, the Bucs aren't picking 26th this year. They're not picking 19th. This is the number 5 overall pick. Everybody in this building where we sit here at One Buck knows that this should be a Pro Bowler. You do it right, you've got a guy who is going to be in Ring of Honor contention one day. Now, when that happens, ownership likes to know what's going on and what are we doing, and they like to have their say. Where do you think the Glazers stand in this pick? Where do you project them to sit?
Steve, you made an excellent point to start out. It's the 5th pick. It's not Davin Joseph, you know, at number 19 or 24. It's different.
Who was actually a decent player for
the
Bucks.
Who was a decent player? Yes, he was.
So he blew out his knee.
The 5th pick. They want to know what's going on, Lee. Don't let anybody. Hope. Yeah, you would hope. Now, look, I don't think it's going to be at the point where Arian says we're looking at Sweat. And Ari Glazer's going to say, that guy's going to be a bust. That's not going to happen. You know, Ari Glazer, he's with, you know, Man U. They're playing Barcelona in the Champions League. He's worried about Man U over there. So, you know, they're involved to a point. And anybody who says they were involved with Roberto Aguayo, I mean, that pick, with that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
You know, though,
they might have known what he was going to do, but they didn't come up with Roberto Aguayo. I mean, come on. If they did, shame on them.
I don't know for a fact that they did, but I know someone is pushing that narrative. Just the little bit I know of the draft process with the Bucks, it doesn't sound outlandish. I wouldn't lay money on it. You know, I'm not saying that they came up to light 2 months before the draft. Draft Aguayo. No, I'm not saying that, but it would not shock me, and we'll never know. But unless someone gives light,
I think it's more do what you got to do, Jason. Do
it wouldn't shock me if they said, you know, we could use a kicker. But I don't know that to be a fact at all. It wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying it did. I'm not even leaning that way. But if someone told me that, it wouldn't shock me. But I will say this about the Glazers. They like to tell people, and I don't think they're conning people, that they're hands off. And I've heard coaches tell me that they're never around. You know, they're very hands-off.
I don't know if I'd go completely hands-off.
Well, I mean, not ignore it, but yeah. I mean, are they involved? Yeah. Are they heavy-handed? And like I said, I've had coaches tell me they never see them. Never. They never see them. So that's not a heavy-handed owner if you never see them. What I'm trying to say is, though, there are just some, and has been, there have been some absolutely asinine personnel decisions in the past decade. And the Glazers should have been more proactive. You know, when Lovie Smith goes up to him, Darrelle Revis can't play for me. Oh, yes, he can. And if he can't play for you, I can replace
you
a coach.
You can't coach for us.
Yeah, I can replace a coach a hell of a lot easier, and I can find a cornerback like Darrelle Revis. Excuse me, Darrell. I mean, and Michael Bennett, I've heard rumors. Who knows for sure? We may never know. But if that was a Shiano/Dominic move, the Glazers said, wait a minute. He's too much of a freelancer. He ought to be more of a freelancer. He got 9 sacks. Deal with him, or I can find a coach. So if they are hands-off, like I've heard they are from coaches, and I've heard people in the personnel department say that they're involved, yes. Are they hands-off? Yes. You could be both. But at some times, this ownership group should have been more proactive.
Steve, we have to make this point. We have to make it. More than a few of our readers, and you know this as well as I do, continually point out the Glazers are the constant. The Glazers are the constant through this terrible tailspin. That is now in its second decade.
It's not just the Glazers.
You know what? That's a fair point. And I think the Glazers would have to acknowledge that. You've talked to Joel in March. This 11-year drought has shocked them. I hope it shocked them to the core where they realize, you know, we got to make better decisions in terms of coaches and who we're hiring. That's a big mistake over the years. Steve, they are the constant factor. They have to take their share of the blame for this disastrous stretch in franchise history after the glory of 2002. That seems like eons ago, Steve. You can't make any excuses for ownership. They're a big part of this.
Ira, do you expect anything bold from the Bucks in this draft? When I say that, I mean like a late trade of some names that we might know to shake up not only the salary cap, but also the draft itself. You know, and I'm not just talking about Gerald McCoy. It could extend to anybody outside the guys we know they're not going to trade. So it could extend to Cameron Brate. It could extend to Jason Pierre-Paul. It could extend who knows where. Do you see the Bucks going Arians here with his no risk it, no biscuit, somehow with the draft?
I see him sticking at five and maybe trying to get back into late first round. Maybe package a player with a fourth round pick. I think there's a good choice chance McCoy's not a Buck by business time a week from now. By the time midnight comes around, I think there's
midnight
a chance.
On the first evening.
Midnight on the first evening. Yeah, Lee. There's going to be a guy that's tantalizing that's still there at 26. He's still sitting there. He fits a Buck need. Arians loves the guy. And Arians tells Light, Jason, we don't pick for 10 more picks. Do you think this guy's still going to be there? And Light's going to say, I think it's 50-50. We might lose this guy. And I think Arians is going to say, do what you got to do. Get back in the first round. I can see a move like that. That has panned out. I think that's why they got Doug Martin going back late in the first round. And say what you want about Doug Martin, he had two or three spectacular years for the Bucks.
He had two. And by the way, that was a Mark Domenech move, not Jason. But Jason Light is a gambler with the draft. I think this is correct. I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and research this. Every year but one year, Light has traded the first round pick in some respect, whether he moved back.
I can't see him moving up, Lee.
I don't think so either. But I got a question for you. You were talking about the Glazers earlier. In your words, not mine, they're the constant. When you say the Glazers, you're not referring to Malcolm. You're referring to his sons. Because Malcolm, was he involved
with
the firing?
Well, that's another point made by a lot of our readers, is that this team hasn't been the same since Malcolm passed away or had that stroke.
Had the stroke.
The facts are the facts. I don't necessarily link the two, but the facts are they have not been the same.
How involved, I know this was after his stroke, how involved was Malcolm in any decisions post-Chucky?
I don't think he was involved on the football side, but he set a tone. He set a tone for the way things are going to be done. Maybe things have slipped a little in his stead.
I think overall, without the hard details, I think he set a very aggressive posture for the franchise. We're changing our look. We're changing our image. We're going to be aggressive. We're spending money. And that all changed. That faded away somewhere in 27, 28, 2009.
And that's what led to Gruden's frustration.
And it's come back where they are spending a lot of money. Just to go back to Lee before the fan commenters start hitting it up, Jason Light's traded down twice. And both times we don't know how well it worked out. But when he stood still with Evans and Jameis and O.J. Howard, those guys have been pretty good.
Well, Steve brings up a point about they weren't spending the money like they were with Malcolm. But it still irks Steve that supposedly, I can't remember what year it was, 2011 was it, Steve? That there was supposedly this free agent class. It was a free agent class to die for. The greatest in
NFL history. It was 2011, yeah.
And the Bucks in that free agent class, they got a punter.
They got a punter. And they paid the price for it, Steve. They went from 10-6 to 4-12, and that's the way it happened.
All right, Ira, look, we're going to talk about Jason Light after these words from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. In fact, that's the way it is at Ed Morse. Over 1.2 million people have been backed by Morse with their price protection promise. And right now, during the Move Up sales event, drive a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury just $299 a month, plus Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa will make your first payment. Visit edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillactampa.com for all the details at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon right there on their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. All the great offers for this month are laid out for you. 2019 Cadillac CTS, $399 lease per month. 2019 Cadillac XT4, the all-new XT4. $339 lease per month, and your first payment is waived. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and the dealership there is right on Causeway Boulevard. Hector LeBron, general manager, ask for him. He will take care of you personally. He's happy to give that personal service. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Thanks to them for sponsoring all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. They make him possible to continue entertaining and being the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Back to Jason Light, who we talked about on the last podcast. Anybody can listen to our previous thoughts, your thoughts as the sage, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, right at JoeBucksFan.com. We didn't touch on everything, though. Let me hit the newsy end of it, which was Kendall Beckwith. I asked Jason Light, is he cleared to play, and how does that affect the draft if he's not? And Jason said he's not cleared to play, and he sort of didn't really say that it affected the draft either way. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Your thoughts? It's been a year since that car accident, and Light said their Bucks are consulting with medical experts, and so is Beckwith. What do you think?
I don't know what's more mysterious, the Mueller report contents or Kendall Beckwith's x-ray. What the hell's going on around? This is the longest recovery from an ankle injury I've ever seen. Now, it was a bizarre ankle injury. You know, he didn't get stepped on or anything. But I understand that. But shouldn't we know by now, Lee? I got to think the Bucks know a lot more than they're telling us about Kendall
Beckwith. I hope
so. And I'm not counting on him right now for 2019. I'm not counting on him.
Almost a year ago, I regret, I don't know about regret, but I...
Are we about a year out since the car accident?
Yeah, last April. Last April. Right. Almost a year ago. No, I take it back. It wasn't a year ago. It was late last fall, last summer, when Beckwith kept getting pushed back and pushed. Well, if I remember correctly, the Bucks seemed to think that he was going to be ready for training camp. And kept getting pushed back. He's on the field. He's cleared to get on the field. He's on the field, but they won't clear him for practice. It kept getting pushed back, and I just said to myself, something's up. And at that point, I said to myself, you know, I'm not sure we'll ever see him again. Because that might have been a shattered ankle for him. You don't go for surgery if it's a twisted ankle. Come on. And if a team is not forthcoming about something, they're hiding it. Otherwise, there's no need to hide it. There's every reason to be forthcoming. I mean, if he had a hangnail, he might miss a practice. He'll be back. But they kept hiding it, kept pushing him back, kept hiding it. So I expected the worst. And I even wrote, I expect the worst, hope the best.
Dave, with Kwan's departure, Beckwith's health takes on more of a priority, especially if you're thinking about going to a base 3-4.
Well, now we have answers. The answer is this is a confirmed mess, and you, as the draft approaches just a week away, you can't count on them. So the Bucks and Jack Sitchie, their sixth round pick last year.
Come on, you're not going to put stock in a sixth round pick.
Absolutely not, except he blew his knee out. So he's not even there either.
That's a second knee.
Devontae Bond is back, which is meaningless, and Darius Taylor is off to Cleveland, where he got a decent contract.
And staring you directly in the face is Devin White.
And your favorite guy, the money backer. I know you love that line.
Yeah, and you got Buchanan. That's
but
right.
Now it seems they're almost desperate for linebacker help. Does this change the game for you in the draft?
I think they're going to know one way or another about Beckwith. If they don't know it right now, they're going to know it by next Thursday night. Of course it affects the way they look at the draft. Of course it affects, Bull's willingness to go to a 3-4. Although, you know, Light made a great point. Lee, we go crazy about this 4-3 and 3-4. They're a nickel 70% of the time, Lee. You got to remember that. So let's not go crazy over this 3-4 alignment and Vita Vea as the nose tackle.
As Pat Kerwin always says, people wig out too much about, the front. Don't be scheme specific.
I got to know about Beckwith going into the draft. To me, it's going to affect the way they approach this thing.
If they believe Beckwith's going to come back, I think they're being irresponsible. I'm going to come out and say it. At the combine, Light told me, media away, I asked him, I said, what's going on with Beckwith? Oh, we'll have something in a month. I said, are we looking at a career ending? Well, I'll let you guys know in a month. I'll have a report in a month. It's 2 months now, almost. Seven weeks, excuse me.
Back you know, one thing, yeah, Lee, one thing we don't talk about very much is
cheerleaders?
True.
Brooklyn? It seems like it's a fait accompli. How do you like that?
I like that.
That Lavonnie David, for the first time in his professional career, is going to play in the middle of the field. He's never done that. That's a major adjustment, Lee. Whether it's going to be one of the two inside guys in a 3-4, they're talking about him as an inside backer. Why is he necessarily an inside? Maybe because Buchanan can't play inside?
Well, maybe they're thinking, Lavonnie's not young anymore. And maybe they're thinking he lost a half step, and he's such a good player. That doesn't bother me. Here's what, and this doesn't bother me either. And this should give some calm to Bucks fans freaking out about Beckwith and linebackers. If there's anything Jason Light has shown an ability for him and his staff, they do a damn good job with linebackers. They really do. I mean,
and that's why they might pick one at number 5, Mr. DeKemper.
Well,
they won't
be going there.
They won't be going.
But no, I mean. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in his organization. One thing I do have confidence in is they're going to find linebackers. Some way or another, they're going to find linebackers. So I'm not worried. Steve says, so what about Bond? Maybe I'm just a geek. I love the way that guy tackles. I love the way he tackles. It's textbook tackling. I love the way Beckwith was the third round pick. Quan was the fourth round pick. Adarius Taylor, nobody ever heard of the guy. And all of a sudden he gets a big raise and he takes off. I really have confidence
in
Jason Lentz's
ability. And they added Shaq Griffin coming off the left edge in a 3-4. So he could play a vital role there.
Yeah. Oh, you hear what Kermit said about him?
No.
It was not good.
Not good?
No, he said he's a backup. In matter of fact, his exact words were,
Well, I think as a spot player, I think he can be effective. I don't want 70 snaps, but I think he can be effective.
That's what Kerwin was saying, a spot starter. But
spot
he
starter.
Said a full-time starter.
Now, Kerwin, with all due respect, and we love him, also is the guy that says he thinks the Bucks are moving up to number one and giving up McCoy in the second round.
I think that was just radio
pick.
Shtick.
A little bit of radio shtick there.
We don't do that here. We stick to the facts.
We stick
here.
To the facts. All right. Now, the fact is, I asked Jason Light what I thought was sort of a money question.
Oh, and, boy, did you get an answer on this one.
And he kind of gave the old hamada. I said, do you believe the roster is more talented entering the draft than it was at this time last year?
How the hell could he say no? Could he say no?
He didn't give
it. If he says no, I'm firing him the next day.
He didn't give a resounding yes. He paused, he hemmed, and he said,
They lost Grimes on Ryan, you know, Vinny Curry. I mean,
Deshaun Jackson, Humphreys.
Jackson, you know, but what about all these guys that they've added? You know, I mean, he's got to say yes.
If anybody has any doubts, who's running things now? I'll never forget the very day Bruce Arians was announced as new coach. Jason Light said, and I quote, I'm going to do everything in my power to bring Humphreys back. He's not here. They could have afforded him because he cost less than Deshaun Jackson. They could have afforded him. To the best of my knowledge, they didn't even offer him a contract.
And Arians didn't make the same claim on that first day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Jackson's gone too, but the reality is they could afford anybody. Just get rid of somebody else who you don't want. So,
what was Light's answer? I guess so. Or what did he say?
He paused. He hedged. He's like, I think he said exactly. I'd like to think so.
I'd like to think so. All right.
Yeah, that's not a resounding yes.
Not going over well with the Glazers. You know.
Well,
I mean,
you know, you try to get better. That's
the
upgrades,
idea. Upgrades, Lee. Oh, I thought you were going with your running back question, which was a doozy.
Also, I wanted to get your take on this because there were a few layers there. I asked Light, running backs, is there a difference in how you're evaluating these guys now that Bruce Arians is in the building?
And, of course, Arians is a guy who loves to throw to his running backs. He had Andre Ellington, who's on the Buck roster but didn't play in 2018. He was essentially a guy who caught a lot of passes. Isn't Todd McNair on the Buck staff? He caught a ton of passes at Temple when Arians – that's what his job was. And he was darn good at it. And then, of course, you got David Johnson, who looked like the second coming of Marshall Faulk for a couple of years till he got struck down by an injury. And I'm hoping he regains his former status because he was a wonderful player and has taken a step back since that injury.
Didn't he help you win a fantasy team?
No. I sucked this year. No fact. I was no factor.
You missed the playoffs, Sage.
And out of the blue, Steve, there's no way you could have expected this out of your little running back question. Here comes Ronald Jones, front and center. Steve, I'll leave it up to you to tell people what he said, and then we'll talk about it.
What's to tell? He said that Jones is the most impressive. That's the collective opinion at one buck from staff, coaches, personnel, and players. He said, and players, that he's been sort of rejuvenated, and they appreciate his hard work. And I don't have the exact quote.
Why didn't he have confidence in 2018, Lee? Is there a reason he didn't have any confidence? He was going to get his shot. The number two spot was wide open, as it is again in 2019, as we stand right now. I'm not weighing in on Ronald Jones until I see something from Ronald Jones. And that's my way of saying I saw nothing from Ronald Jones.
You took the words out of my mouth. I mean, he was so poor last year. So bereft. There's a word for you.
Bereft,
he was so
outstanding.
He was so bereft of production that until I see something, he's a non-factor.
Now, Lee, did he get slapped around behind the line of scrimmage a few times because of bad blocking? Yes, he did. But that doesn't explain everything.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I think the thing is that it reeked of Bruce Arians and Light saying, let's pump up Jones and build his confidence even more publicly to get him as jacked up as possible. Because it was an awfully odd thing to say, Ira, because think about it. All the Bucks have done, they've been in meetings, and sure, they could see how hard he's working on film and asking questions. But
which might have been a problem last year.
Exactly. So that's my point, is that, okay, running sprints, that's not going to impress the brass here. There's a lot of guys on the 90-man roster.
They sure spend a lot of time putting that crap up on Instagram.
Yeah, a lot of guys run well with nobody on them in shorts. So what are they seeing? They're seeing him in meetings and around the building and
asking the right questions.
Looks like he's probably being a professional. And I've been told that by a reliable source that Jones came into the league very unprofessional, very immature as rookies go. Just not a bad guy, not a guy who wasn't trying or didn't have his heart in the right place, but just immature, like a 17-year-old walking.
And Ira, possibly one of the reasons that he wasn't drafted a little higher than he was, possibly.
And Ira, I know who his source is. It's good intel.
It is good intel.
And you know what? When you think about it, go back to the combine, I believe, or might have been before that, but Jason Light this offseason has said, well, you know, he was 20 years old. He came in a couple of times. He mentioned how young Jones was, which of course is ridiculous because every rookie's young and 7 months doesn't change a guy, you know, or shouldn't be a factor in a rookie coming in. But Light's emphasized that. And it sounds like Jones behind the scenes is acting more like a more mature person, which can only help.
None of us are rooting against Ronald Jones.
Oh,
please.
I hope he runs 1,500 yards.
And
this year.
I don't want to judge a guy off his first season who was used in a spare situation.
And from
but
what
part
I can
of the
gather,
reason it was a spare situation is he didn't show anything.
Well, part of what I agree with you completely, and part of what I'm not ready to write him off yet is because he probably wasn't a wanted man by the man who coached him last year, so that didn't help matters. But to Steve's point. Oh, he's young. Who drafted him?
Light.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
That's
joke. Oh, he's young.
Steve, you know
who was 20 years old when he was drafted? And 20 years old coming into training camp? Mike Evans, Quan Alexander. Come on, Jason. So I'm glad Marpet was older.
Marpet was older.
But I'm glad things are moving in the right
Steve,
direction.
Steve, I still think there's a big need, a big need for a third down back that can catch balls. I don't see it. I mean, am I counting on Andre Ellington? At this point,
well, I thought everybody was.
I mean, what's going on here? Who is your third down?
I thought everybody thought Peyton Barber was all that.
Well, he's not known for his hands, and I want a guy that can. I want Charles Sims from. Sorry, Lee. I want Charles Sims from 2015.
You're the one that's saying it publicly, not me.
I want Charles Sims from 2015. I'm sorry.
Are you sober?
I still remember how effective he was. It was phenomenal.
Hey, get your head out of the past, Ira. You know what I want? I want a great running back. I want Barber to be competing with some sort of guy who's phenomenal. And maybe you can find that guy, like a lot of teams do, in the second round, the third round, fourth round. Now is the time. That's why I asked the question, because Light's evaluation of running backs in this building has been, made us run into that wall over there.
Yeah, you know, one thing we didn't get enough, we didn't have enough time to ask about the about offensive line. We didn't talk about and you know that's one of my pet peeves.
I know.
You know it. I still think they need a major upgrade on the right side. And DeMar's not getting any younger either.
No, he's not. And I don't disagree that you got to start planning for life without DeMar Dotson. But if that major upgrade is coming, it sure doesn't look like it this year. And by the way, about Steven and running backs, it's so right. I mean, it's almost like, all these tests that they give. I may have said this before on a podcast. I know I've said it to Steve. All these tests they give these guys, the Wunderlich test, you name it. It's almost like they give Bucks running backs illiteracy tests. Did you pass the illiteracy test? Yes. You're our back.
We did hear he struggled with the playbook last year, Steve, right? We did.
He did.
Where have we heard that before?
Did you see Aqib Talib on NFL Network by any chance?
No.
He's getting so much better on television, and it's fantastic.
All of a sudden, he's speaking the King's English? I couldn't get three words out of this guy.
He's getting better. He's entertaining.
I listened to the tape 14 times. I couldn't figure out what he was saying.
He's a fun guy, man. So did you see the video circulating of Alvin Kamara? And did you see that by any chance?
No.
So they've got Kamara, and he's with his trainer, and he's standing on this like big yoga ball, these big round yoga ball.
Standing on top of a ball?
Standing on top of it, balancing himself, keeping his balance, standing on the ball. But they're throwing him these three-sided, looks like an old-time thing for you, Ira. Jacks, remember you played Jacks?
Yeah, Jacks, yeah.
They're throwing him these giant jacks, one at a time, and he has to catch the jack in the air, but each corner of the three-sided, three-pointed jack has a different color. So as the trainer tosses the jack,
come on,
let's say it's yellow, green, and red. He yells yellow, and Kamara has to reach for it to grab the color. And he's catching them over and over
while he's on the ball,
rotating hands while he's balancing on the ball, working on his core and keeping his mind focused and his hands, all this coordination. And Tlaib's like, they asked Tlaib, what do you make of that video? This is after they asked, an ex-running back. I forgot who was there. And they asked Tlaib, he's like, lets me know I got to get out of the game. You know, I'm on my way out.
And the Bucks got to face this guy twice.
Yeah,
a year.
They got to face it. It was extraordinary. There's more to the video too, but you know, the Bucks have to fix the running back thing now. And doesn't mean it's broken with Peyton Barber, but
well, it ain't fixed.
If you don't get a good running back out of this draft, shame on you, Jason Light and Bruce Arians, who didn't get any running backs in free agency, and they were out there.
I'm going to say shame right now. If they didn't get decent running backs in the past two drafts, which were loaded with running backs, how are they supposed to get a good running back in a draft that's, there we go again, bereft of bereft. Running backs?
And you know, I thought Tevin Coleman would have been a good pickup in a free agency.
To me, that was so overrated.
Well, the guy ran for two.
He ran for what, 820 yards last
year?
He's a good number two.
No, it wasn't better than Barber. He didn't run for more yards.
I didn't say he should replace Barber, but I want that number two back. Right now, well, I don't have him.
And to Steve's point, if both those guys had yards basically identical, how could be an improvement?
I'm looking for depth behind Barber. I got no depth.
He'd be depth. Okay.
Find that gem. Find that David Johnson. Find that guy that every be that team who finds
Kareem Hunt,
the second, third, Kareem fourth Hunt. Round running back this go. Year. I want. People.
And there's another one. They had a chance to get him too.
They did.
You know how it goes, Sage. Last one, Ira. Last one, and you could take us out on this when Light was asked about Jameis Winston, not really Jameis directly, but the contract, the explosive contract of Russell Wilson. Light said something like, well, the price keeps going up. You think this Wilson contract, and we talked about it last podcast, but do you think it changes the attitude of the organization knowing that they might actually have to cough up 30 to Jameis if Kirk Cousins pulled in $28 million and now the ceiling is 35?
No, Steve, I don't think it affects him at all. First of all, he's not getting Russell Wilson money. Jameis, I don't care if he goes 12-4. He's not getting Aaron Rodgers money. I don't care if he goes 13-3. He's not getting Drew Brees money. I don't care if he goes 15-1. He just doesn't have the body of work, Lee. He doesn't have it. And if he wants $32 million a year, he can take his act to Vegas. Lee, where you're going to be in a couple of years for the Bucks Raiders game.
You will too.
And I will too. It's not going to be a money situation for Jameis Winston. It's going to be a winning situation for Jameis Winston. He's got to prove he's a winner. He's got to prove he's an elite quarterback. And if he is, you pay the going rate. In his case, it's not $35 million.
No.
He's not going to set a new standard. You know, but if you think he's the 10th best quarterback in football, you pay him accordingly. The Glazers are still on Jameis Winston's side. They have not given up on Jameis. If they had, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's true.
He wouldn't be here.
Are the Glazers as solidly behind him as they were in previous years?
No, nor should they be. That's why there's so much pressure on Jameis Winston's shoulder. And to go to Steve's point, I'll take it a step further in terms of getting that dynamic running back. If you can do that and have a damn good running game, I think it would help immeasurably in Jameis Winston's development.
No argument at all. No.
All right, Iris, shame on you. And we'll get this next podcast.
Shame on me.
We can't end
a podcast for you saying shame on me.
For you saying the Bucks shouldn't expect a new standard for Jameis to set a new standard and be a $35 million quarterback. Shame on you. That's why we're here.